This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North convenience stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Your 5 o'clock hour, the drive home. Congratulations, you made it. You're rolling homeward for a nice 36 hours in the house with the kids because it's going to rain all day tomorrow. Isn't that going to be fun?
All weekend, nice?
It's all week and next week, too.
Oh, doesn't it look great?
April showers.
It's brutal. Brutal. This is a brutal month to get through.
April is quickly turning into the Tuesday of months.
Oh, my goodness.
Just like, what do you do here? I thought that was March originally, but April is just picking up the baton for March and being like, bro, I got you. This is awful.
I was up in the Saratoga Springs last weekend seeing my daughter play some lacrosse, and it was cold and wet. I mean, it was the coldest game I've ever had to stand. Mm-hmm. When it's raining and it's upper 30s,
yeah,
that might be the worst conditions to play.
I would say so.
A game in. Give me,
and also the worst conditions to attend.
Single digits, cold.
Yeah,
all day over 41 degrees and pouring rain.
Yeah, just a nice little light rain. Oh. Like my kid's playing Little League baseball now, so I have to go to all the games, and I just stand there, and I have to wear gloves, and everyone's got Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeers going on because they're all just freezing to pieces. Yes, Stanley.
I would like to ask Ted, like, what was the worst weather conditions-wise game that you played in?
Do you ready?
Remember?
I do. I can give you the game. Ready? Google this. Google this, and you will see in 1 second what I'm talking about.
Okay.
Go ahead, Dan. 1991, Colorado Buffaloes versus the Iowa State Cyclones. 1991, Colorado football versus Iowa State football. Go ahead, type that in your little computers, and show me what pops up, and then we can have a discussion about it. Have you done it yet?
Dan's efforting it right now.
Okay, 1991.
Do you see it? 1991,
Colorado.
Yeah, the first line in the write-up on Iowa State's website, but also had to contend with blizzard conditions and bone-chilling temperatures. I'm looking for more specifics.
There's no video of it? There's no picture.
Iowa State got on the board first when fullback Jim Knott scored on a 12-yard run in the first quarter. How'd you let Jim Knott score, Ted?
It was, you know what? He slipped right through my hands.
Because it was just so cold. How bad?
There's no videos of it? It should show you right there.
God, I just found one.
Okay. You can't even see the field.
Maybe a couple hundred people at the game. There were cars in the ditches on the way to the game. It should have been called off.
Why did they play this game?
They decided to play the game. I have no idea why. It was by far. It makes that Tennessee game, the playoffs, like a joke.
That was 0 degrees at kickoff time, but there was no wind. So this apparently was in 1991. Colorado defeats Iowa State. Nice job getting the dub. 17-14 in the coldest game in Jack Trice Stadium history. It was 17 degrees, but with the wind chill, it felt like well below zero. Plus, there's snow. Whipping or, oh my God.
Guys, there's 200 people at the game. Imagine a stadium that holds, 50,000 people with literally a couple people over there, I mean, you were on the way to the game, and there's cars.
Oh, here we go.
Off the ditch.
Right, I love the comments on YouTube. I was at that game with my dad. Not only was it freezing cold and windy, but there was ice on the roads to keep people away. There couldn't have been more than 1,000 people at the game tops.
Not even 1,000. Not even 1,000 people there.
A windy snowstorm.
So that's the coldest game.
40-mile-an-hour gust. Oh, my God.
I got 17 degrees at the time of kickoff.
So imagine 40-mile-an-hour winds, and it's 17 degrees. That's what we played in. So that was by far the coldest game I've ever
Here's my
played.
Favorite comment, Dan. That was my first season after graduating. I'd usually go to Pizza Pit after and take half the pizza home after. Not this time, LOL.
All right, Teddy. Where were you, because you were with Colorado at this time, where were you guys ranked when you were playing this game in the nation?
Oh, gosh. 1991, we got off to a rough start, but I wasn't playing until the fourth game of the season, so that might have explained it. But
there
I want to
go.
Say we were in
Classic.
The, God, I want to say we're in the top 20, Dan. We were 18th in the country.
You were 15th in the country going
okay.
into this game.
How
not
about
too,
that?
Not too shabby.
Okay. Is this the new Heisel era or pre?
Oh, no. Well, that well came before. After me. That was the Bill McCartney era.
Bill McCartney.
Yeah, so it was that was a rough year. They won the national championship the year before that. They beat Notre Dame in the Orange Bowl 10-9.
Wow, a squeaker.
Yeah, they blocked an extra point, believe it or not. That's how they had 9 points. But it was also Rocket Ishmael.
Ah, yes.
We punted to
Raheem,
him.
The Rocket.
The Colorado punted to him right down the middle of the field. He ran it back for a touchdown. Oh, but wait. There is a flag clipping on Notre Dame, so
how
he brought the ball back,
that?
And that was what saved Colorado's behind when they ended up sharing the national championship with Georgia Tech in 1990.
Fun, useless trivia fact now that you bring up Raheem the Rocket Ishmael. Do you remember his brother's name?
Of course. I played against him in the Fiesta Bowl when he was at Syracuse.
Quadri.
Yeah.
No
yeah,
kid.
Yeah.
Did you really?
Yeah.
How about
yeah.
that? And you played, sure you really, did. Like, you were right there in a golden era of college and professional football. Who's the toughest guy to tackle you ever? Was it Tommy? Did you mention before? Was it Tommy Frazier?
You know what? If Tommy Frazier was
a nightmare to
you know, probably
Lamar
Jackson. The best football player I've ever had to play against.
Wow.
But it was his running back at the time. And why I'm having a hard time, the guy he went to
Lawrence Phillips.
Lawrence Phillips went to yep. Miami.
He got mentioned earlier today. They were
Lawrence Phillips was a very difficult.
Great, yeah, really great. Yeah, Tommy Frazier was a hell of a runner. He was often moving in space. He was no walker. But speaking of walkers, how about that effort yesterday? That was a terrible segue. I apologize to everybody. How about that effort yesterday, Teddy, by your Boston Red Sox 4-3, second game in a row. They go to extra innings against the Blue Jays. They're able to salvage one dub out of the four. Should have been a split. They go 7-7 on the season after 14. The polarizing up and down, odds and end, Boston Red Sox at least get a dub. And it was Trevor Story who comes through with the GW RBI in the 10th after missing his opportunity to be the hero the night before.
Yeah, it was. I mean, that was, let's face it. I mean, was anybody just enjoying that game last night? I mean, other than Walker Buehler, finally, you know, looking like he's, you know, is going to, you know, be, you know, what we hoped he'd be.
Yep.
But the hitting was, again, just not there. Very, very frustrating. Just key guys in the meat, heart of the lineup coming up in these key situations and not coming through. Very, very frustrating. But, I was listening to, a lot of some of the show on the radio, and it was kind of like, can we just, you know, Lenny Donardo was just saying, can we just get the ball on the ground? Can we hit the ball on the ground? Good things usually happen if you just, you know, get the ball on the ground, and certainly it did. Look, 7-7 after they started 1-4, I'll take 7-7 at this point. Their next 10 games, all right, are against opponents that are 7-17, all right? The Chicago White Sox and the Tampa Bay Rays are a combined 7-17. 10 of their next or 7 of their next 10 games are against the Chicago White Sox. It's time to go start winning a bunch of baseball games. And so it starts with the Chicago White Sox. So I'm hoping that this next series, the next two series, I should say, or three series, gosh, because they play the Chicago White Sox, then the Rays, and then the Chicago White Sox again.
Mm-hmm.
Will, I don't know, they'll get fat and happy off of these two teams and start – hitting the ball. Sometimes you just got to, you know, you play some an inferior opponent just to kind of get your confidence.
Yep.
And then that will propel you. So I'm hoping propel you. I'm hoping that's what happens in these next three series against these two opponents.
Yeah. So you got three at Rate Field, as you reminded us yesterday, against the White Sox. They should absolutely feast on this team because they are, what was it, Dan? They're 2-10.
2-10.
2-10 right now.
Good Lord.
The Rays are 5-7.
And then you go down to Steinbrenner Field in front of 9,500 fans, and you
what a joke, by the way.
I know. Well, you know what the real joke was? The real joke is Tropicana Field. I'm fine with that. They'll sell it. They didn't usually have 10,000 people at their own stadium.
Fair point.
I worked for MLB for a full year in 2011, traveling to all these parks, doing fan service meet and greets for this sponsored entertainment program, and I got to tell you, each and every time I would go down there, it would just make. The weather was great. The beaches were beautiful. And who doesn't love when someone else is paying for your steak dinner? That said, my God, what a toilet that place is. Poured concrete with just a slab of fake grass they picked up at the Home Depot. And did you know, Ted, St. Petersburg was in such a rush to build the stadium and beat the city of Tampa proper to actually to hosting rights for the Major League Baseball expansion franchise in the 90s? They built the stadium for like $220 million. Nothing. And to conserve on air conditioning costs, they built the canvas roof slanted so it's not as high in the outfield so they don't have to burn as much electricity, keeping the outfield air chilled. It is such a it is such a dump. I'm glad nobody was hurt when the hurricane ripped through Tampa last year.
I mean, has that team ever been supported? They've had good teams in the past, but it's never really been supported.
Got one of the nastiest left-handers at the top of the lineup, too, in McClanahan. The Red Sox should go on the road and get things right now. And what they should – the pitching has been excellent. Duke Newcomb is on the mound tonight, correct, Dan?
Sean? That is correct, yeah.
Yep, okay. And Fitz tomorrow?
Let me double-check that, but I believe so.
Yeah, this is a time, Ted. They should come back 5-1. You got to go win five of the next six, get on top. At that point, you'd be 12-8. I think we'd all be feeling pretty terrific because you'd be at the 1/8 mark of the season.
And then you got four more games against the Chicago White Sox at home.
Okay, you got Newcomb, Fitz, Crochet. You out-hit them tonight if Newcomb has a tough start. Fitz has been excellent. He's given you two quality starts. Yeah. And Crochet, do we think he gets the yips going back home against his old team, or does he absolutely just mow them down on some? I think you get like an 11-12 strikeout effort by Crochet on Sunday against his old team.
Let's hope, man. Let's hope. But, it was interesting. Just some of the things that came out of last night's game. Again, a little, Christian Campbell, questionable, at second base again. And remember we interviewed Alex Cora on Wednesday, and I asked him about, some of his struggles. And he's, you got to love the one you're with. So it's kind of very similar, Christian Campbell playing second base, or if he plays center field, that we're going to have to deal with the mistakes because they are committed to him, obviously with the contract, but just committed to him as far as letting him make mistakes kind of as he's a fast learner, that he hopefully doesn't make the same mistake twice, that kind of thing. That's what Alex Cora was throwing at our face. But that is going to be something interesting to follow is Christian Campbell playing a position that he normally doesn't play. How much patience do they have with him when it comes to that? According to Cora, it's gonna be a lot, and so we're gonna have to have the same amount of patience.
I believe actually it was callers. I see you guys lined up on a potpourri of topics. We will get to you in just a few moments when we kick off the wrap it all up segment here on the show, odds and ends. And I got some great text messages I want to share. Across the buffet of sports we have spoken to today, Ted. But I believe it was actually producer extraordinaire and Red Sox pregame host Dan Ball, the Ball Hawk, who said yesterday in our group chat something along the lines of, hot take, I don't think I love Alex Cora playing all these players out of position, and I think that's creating an unsteadiness about them, which could lead to some uncertainty at the plate. I paraphrase, but how did you phrase it, Dan?
It was right around there. Just the moving Christian Campbell out to center field, that's one, and the insistence on playing Rob Refsnyder, Romy Gonzalez, and David Hamilton with any kind of regularity. I understand the thought process behind it. He values his veterans. He values his utility players. And no, I would not say this to his face if I was at the Fenway studio. So
coward.
I will put my hand up and say I am a coward and wouldn't say it. But you've seen Willie Abreu start to cool off. Christian Campbell still looks very uncomfortable at second base. If you think he's the second baseman of the future, play him every day at second base and allow him to work it out. I worry about moving these pieces around too frequently and giving guys days off just for the sake of the lefty-righty matchup, not allowing guys getting into a rhythm. And you look at the fact that they had 8 runs and 6 errors in that series against Toronto.
Unforgivable.
Maybe it's
6
more
errors.
Maybe it's more correlation than causation, but I don't like it. I'd like to set it and forget it. More than they have.
Did you
so
just
far.
Say correlation?
Yes.
This guy, huh?
I think there's something to that, though, Dan. I do. I look, if you're not happy with, you know, the other half of your game, the fielding, I can see it kind of bleeding into your hitting, right? I think there is a correlation between the two.
Attaboy. There we go. Get a little word here right now for our manager talk every Wednesday.
Real quick, Bernhard Langer's got to make this putt if he's going to make the cut. Just saying, 67 years old. This is what makes the Masters great. If he bogeys this, he is out. If he makes it,
the
he is
longer
in.
Donger.
It is
it.
Oh, no.
The Wonger is out.
That would have been a great story, though.
And that's been your golf play-by-play here on WEEI.
You wouldn't watch the Masters with me and Ted?
Hello,
Ted,
friends.
Yeah, Ted, big Ted, like Ted doing his best Jim Nance. I'd be blasted on $5 Longer
finishes at 3 over. Oh, misses the cut.
Are you out of your mind? Well. What a shame.
Oh, well.
So close. 617-779-7937 for your text messages, for your phone calls, and so much more. We'll clean up the phones. We'll get to the best of the text and everything else that we missed in odds and ends coming up here. The supersized dish as we finish up every Friday here on WEEI Afternoons. But until then, the man who gave us correlation and so much more. Here's your trending sports news.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of five-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com. Keurig.com.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Greene from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Dan Ball. You wanted it. You asked for it. You need it. You deserve it. It's time for Supersized Odds and Ends here on WEI Afternoons. Of course, we end every show with odds and ends. A couple of news, notes, and nuggets we weren't able to get to during the course of the show, or we thought you would be interested in hearing on the way out the dough. So on Fridays, we give you a whole big fat 20 minutes of it to help wrap the show up. Of course, today, I just would like to remind everybody we have talked some NFL draft, which is just 13 days from now. Ted and Andy, who was not able to be with us today, are going to be out in Green Bay for the 2025 NFL Draft. And our draft coverage on WEEI is brought to you by McFarland Energy. Upgrade your air conditioning system before the summer rush. Visit McFarlandEnergy.com. It's also brought to you by Northeast Men's Health, the leader in men's sexual health. Get your sex life back on track, NortheastMen'sHealth.com. And by Lucky Energy, the number one energy drink in Massachusetts. Side note, all of us have enjoyed a Lucky Energy today. I had an orange dream. Dan and Stiz, of course, enjoyed some OGs. Delicious, right? What do you think, Stiz?
It's delicious.
Yeah,
delicious.
You were going to say something else, and then you're like, oh, I'm talking about the sponsor. It's amazing. Good job. Radio professional. Every day it's like Groundhog Day. Every day is your first day on the job. Honest to God, I think it's delicious. I enjoy it very much. And I'm feeling vitalized.
I'm a big fan, by the way. Huge fan.
But you're A, a professional, and B, a company man. So good job, Dan. Ted's a huge fan. Ted's at this point now.
Zero calories, no sugar. So that's right up my alley, baby.
Nice little bump, too. I feel terrific.
Before we get going here, don't know if I'll get it in. I just feel like getting this in. I think there's some interesting breaking news. Not that we need to alert anybody to any sounders or anything, but Ian Rappaport is putting out there that Derek Carr is dealing with a shoulder injury that threatens his availability for the season. I just think the Saints at nine. I think the Saints at nine is an interesting thing where – I can maybe see them wanting, I don't know, maybe Shador's there at nine. I just feel like they're going to be in the quarterback market. And and there has been some speculation that the Saints, who have a 1 year left on Chris Olave's contract, might be wanting to deal him. And that maybe the Patriots would be interested in a trade with the Saints, going back to nine, picking up Chris Olave in the process, mm-hmm. and then picking whoever they like there sitting there at nine. So that's just something to think about. But Ian Rappaport putting out there that Derek Carr is in question to even play this year, and that the Saints are might be looking for a quarterback.
Wow. Yep. Okay, so we had thought, as had been speculated a number of times, perhaps the Saints would be a willing trade partner with the Patriots to move up from nine to four to grab either Dart or Sanders, depending on who of the two that they prefer.
I mean, and both of them could be available at nine, and maybe no reason to move up. But
do you want to take that chance if you know you need a guy, or do you wait, or do you stick and pick at nine?
The Raiders might be interested in Shador. He's visiting the Raiders at six. The Raiders are at six.
They're taking Genty.
Okay,
I believe so. Yeah, here it is. Derek Carr's 2024 season ended prematurely with a fractured non-throwing hand. Now a shoulder injury has put his availability for 2025. In doubt. Damn, that could drastically alter the Patriots' game planning. As it is, you have to war room for all of this. You have to be ready for Carter at four, Hunter at four. You have to be ready to go when someone calls and says, how much is it going to cost for us to come up at four? Where are you coming from? Are you coming from six, eight, nine, 12? Look at your trade value charts from Jimmy Johnson and Rich Hill and all. And then you have to think, like, oh, do we call anybody maybe? Because we only have 10 minutes once you figure out. And I still believe, in my heart of hearts, it's going to go Cam Ward, Travis Hunter, Abdul Carter.
Yeah.
Abdul Carter earlier today tweeted out a baseball card photo of himself as like looking like the new Lawrence Taylor in a New York Giants throwback uniform. Just, he knows what's up.
Just being at four as opposed to three.
Thanks, Milton.
The difference between those two, just one pick later, and it feels like it's such a more complex kind of draft than it would have been if you were at 3 or 2 or 1.
All right, guys, let's see how much. All right, so a bunch of things I want to get to. Some text messages from friends about sports stories that we've discussed today, Ted. Some calls. I want to get your feeling on Jaylen Brown not playing for the Celtics and how that's gone this week. But, guys, let's do a little a made-up segment called How Much Stock Do We Put Into This? So earlier in the show, I've been sitting on it for odds and ends. We got a text message from a 617 number. You ready for this? I landscape out of Bridgewater where Vrabel lives. I do his lawn mowing yesterday. I was there working. I overheard from his home office yelling, Genty, 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 that's all I effing hear. That's it, fine, I'm taking him. True story to share.
Yeah, I'm sure.
He doesn't live in Bridgewater.
Okay, see, all right, so he doesn't. So there you go. All right.
So there you go. He doesn't live in Bridgewater. Yeah, he doesn't live in Bridgewater. All right, bro.
Nice try. Okay.
Nice try.
Almost at us.
All right. That's why I said how much, and that's been how much stock do you put into this? All right, Ted, before we get to your Jaylen Brown action, let's get to those calls first. Jay is in the 401 down in Rhode Island. Jay, thanks for holding. How are you?
Thanks. Yeah, I'm excited to be part of the conversation. You jumped on when you started talking about those terrible seats at the old Patriots Stadium.
Ah, brutal.
They're awful. But I thought you 50 would appreciate a funny story about that. And I'm not going to go back to when I was like 8 years old and the Patriots were 2-14, and I would sit there and freezing and say to my dad, like, "No, they still have a chance. We can stay here. Like, let's get to the end."
Been there, done that, my man.
But when they busted up the stadium, they said you can buy your seat.
That's right.
And my wife is like, "There's no way you could they're possibly going to do that." And I was like, "Okay, no, that's totally cool. This is going to happen." And so she got down on her hands and knees and took her keys and literally scraped the underside of our steel seat. To prove to me that you're not going to get your seat.
Such a great story.
Thank you, John.
Yeah, Jay. Okay, appreciate that, Jay. Thank you so much. Cheap seats in Foxborough memories will be available to download on the Odyssey app, Apple Pods, and Spotify later. I do appreciate that. That's great. I hope it's a centerpiece of your fan cave. Let's go to Patrick, also in Rhode Island. Patrick, let's see if your call can come in a whisker under Jay's.
Okay, hi. Just want to let you know, me personally, I'm getting up in years myself. However, I'm guessing I'm about 10 years older than Ted. I had season tickets for, when Parcells came aboard, a young Drew Bledsoe and whatnot. But I wanted to ask Ted if he remembered, and Ted, of course, I loved watching you play, all those stops you made, just incredible goal line stands and everything. But I wanted to ask Ted if he remembered this particular play in 1998 against the Falcons when the Falcons went to the Super Bowl. So Ted was on defense at the north end. His back would have been to the lighthouse. Mm-hmm. He would have been on the right side. And I believe it was Jamal Anderson.
Yeah, I remember the play. Yes, Patrick.
And Ted, you didn't stop.
Thank you, Patrick.
My jaw hit the ground, and I said, "He's got to be hurt. There's no way he doesn't make that play."
Yeah.
So I figured at that point, you must have had an injury you were playing through.
I can't believe.
Thank you, Patrick.
I was perfectly healthy. Yep. Nope. No injuries in that game, and I can't believe. I remember that play like it was yesterday. And thank you for reminding me of that.
Was his celebration the Dirty Bird?
It was, yeah. And it was that me missing that tackle was on the I think the cover of the Boston Globe the next day. So that was
perfect.
And it was one of those Patriot Football Weekly key to stopping Falcons running game: Ted Johnson versus Jamal Anderson.
This has been Picking Scabs with Ted Johnson as part of the WEEI Afternoon Show. I got to say, my favorite line all time ever written in the Boston Globe about a Patriots player was, actually, you may have played with him. He was the first pick made by Pete Carroll when he took over from Bill Parcells. Chris Canty, the cornerback.
Yeah, I remember him.
You remember him?
Yeah, I remember, yeah.
Played for 2 years for you guys, I think, I want to say.
I barely remember him because he played for 2 years.
And then he was released. Not much of an NFL career.
That was the first couple of days of practice. That was when we somebody, I think the Kraft asked Bledsoe what he thought of him. He's like, I wouldn't give this guy a big contract. Or
terrible.
It was awful.
And when they released him after two seasons, I remember reading in the Boston Globe, cornerback Chris Canty has been released from the New England Patriots following an incident where the Patriots discovered him asleep in a car with a beer can, which was, comma, much like every receiver he covered during his time with the Patriots, yeah, wide open.
Never made that pick never made sense, man.
No, that was,
and we all knew it a couple days into training camp.
Yep. So I wanted to get to we got a couple audio clips to get to in a minute, but I wanted to get your feel for how the Celtics are handling the Jaylen Brown situation now and the decision he and or the team or the two of them have made in cooperation with his non-pursuit of trying to go all NBA, which I don't believe he was going to make, and we discussed this a couple days ago as well. And resting this knee before the playoffs. He didn't play the other night in Orlando. He would have needed to have played in Orlando and then one of these two games against Charlotte to get to 65 games played, 20 minutes at a minimum. And the team decided, no, you need to rest that knee and see if
it can. Do we know if the team decided that? Because
I don't, that's the thing. We don't know.
It's the player's decision. I'll just say this. Thank you for making, you know, the right decision. If it's JB or the Celtics, honestly, it made no sense why he was playing. And if it was in pursuit of the 65 games, it's the wrong reason to do it. The Celtics have made so many good decisions this year. They've given Al Horford a lot of rest. He's playing really good basketball. He's only played in 57 games this year.
Nice.
At 38 years old, you got 34-year-old Jrue Holiday. He's only played in 61 games, and you consider he played in the Olympics. You know, that's been great. They've managed this season so well, in my opinion. And so, you know, pushing Jaylen Brown pushing himself to be out there for, you know, for a few extra bucks when really, you know, you have your eyes on bigger things, would have been very, very disappointing going into the playoffs. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad cooler heads have prevailed and he is not going to play. That, to me, is fantastic. So, good job by him or the Celtics, whoever made that decision to not play.
I couldn't agree with you more. We discussed it a bit with Mego before you popped in the program today. Shout out also to Mego for a great job from 2 to 4 today as well on her birthday, joining us here on WEI Afternoons. Listen, you can't fix the knee right now. I don't know if it needs a scope, if it needs major surgery, if it's just going to be a rest-oriented type of recovery and rehabilitation. But he admitted to the fact that it's legitimate pain. He's probably going to have to play through. We don't even know if someone has told him, you can continue playing. You're not going to make it worse. This is just going to be a pain load, pain management issue for you. The less you play him now, the less stress, the less damage, the less inflammation you have to deal with, as you're going to have to obviously play a more intense, a more physical, a faster-paced version of the game you've been playing your whole life, let alone all season long. In the playoffs, Orlando's going to give you a handful. You might have to play the Knicks, then Cleveland, and possibly OKC for the title, or maybe the Lakers. Who knows? I mean, to think that this guy's going to have to play two more months of basketball on that knee, I'll ask you this. Don't you think that they maybe should have sat him well before this?
I do. Yeah, I think it was a mistake to play him as much as they did here towards the end. So that's a little bit disappointing, and I just this worries me a little bit. I feel a little bit differently than Andy does on this. I think with Porzingis, you can still win the whole championship. I do. I don't think necessarily you need JB. I'm in minority on that. Look, you need a health. You know, it'd be nice if he was healthy. I just don't know. I still think this team is just loaded. I think the offense, the ball moves differently when JB is out. I've given you all the numbers of how good they are, even without Jaylen Brown. They're good with him, but they're excellent without him as well. But you need the guy. If you can help it, you need him more than you don't need him. And so resting him to me is the right decision. It made no sense. And I told you, even KP said, after the Knicks game, he was kind of questioning the motive and why, mm-hmm, Jaylen Brown was out there playing on a bad knee. And so even maybe his teammates were getting a little bit. Scal, when I asked him about this very thing, it sounded as if he was unsure why JB was playing. So it was kind of impacting the rest of the team. Why, well, you know, wondering, it felt like maybe a selfish decision And I'm glad, thank God, that he's not playing in these last two games, because I think it would have been a bad look for Jaylen Brown if he did.
And God forbid that he actually heard it more and then was out for the postseason.
Can you imagine?
Run. You'd be asking so much more of your Housers, your Cornets, obviously Tatum, who's now the unquestioned leader, and Porzingis. A text from my friend Jay, who lives in the Tampa area. He was listening on the Odyssey app earlier in relation to us talking about the Rays and why they can't even fill that toilet of a stadium that they call Tropicana Field. FYI, the Rays can't sell out Steinbrenner Field either. It seats 9,800. They're giving away 500 free tickets every game to military veterans, which is great, because my buddy Jay is a military veteran, but only done when there's no sellout. They can't sell any tickets to these games whatsoever down there. One last little thing here, Ted, and then we'll come back and get you previewed for the weekend. We had a couple audio nuggets we wanted to share here in Odds and Ends. This one is actually celebrating its 20th anniversary today. This is one of the great moments in Red Sox history, but it's, it was a bit of an unexpected one, as the team actually gave some love to one of their oppressors and great rivals.
Pitcher number 42, Mariano Rivera.
And the coolest thing was, if you remember, Ted.
I remember that game.
And he laughed and tipped his cap to the crowd as they cheered him for giving up the single to Bill Miller to score Dave Roberts. That's unbelievable.
I thought that was a very classy move by the fans.
It was.
I thought it was excellent.
And him too.
I get chills when I see our fans acting in respectful ways to players on other teams like that. I love that.
Me too. 617-779-7937 is your text and your phone number. When we come back, we'll polish off Odds and Ends, get you into the final drive, preview your weekend, cross it over with Arcan. Man, it's going to be a great last segment, but that's exactly how we roll here after a great edition of WEEI Afternoons. A lot of show left in just very little time. It's the final drive here on WEEI Afternoons with Nick Fitzy-Stevens and Ted Johnson. And, of course, Final Drive is sponsored by your friends at Cars for Kids. Cars for Kids, your trusted charity for car donations. They also accept donations of boats, RVs, motorcycles, and real estate. Call today, 877-CARS-FOR-KIDS. That's Cars with a K, or carsforkids.com. Glad they don't have boats for kids. Motorcycles for Kids just doesn't have the same ring, does it, Ted?
It does not. No, it does not.
Doesn't resonate the same way.
Most effective jingle in the history of jingles, I'd say.
Yes. It's sort of like the same way that people that hated Howard Stern listened for twice as long.
Oh, yeah.
You hate that jingle so much, you memorize it, and you can't stop singing it everywhere. Why, just earlier, moments ago, when your evening and also Red Sox pregame host, Christian Arcan, walked in the studio, he was humming it.
It's true. I was. What do you guys picture when you hear that guy singing? Like, what do you picture him looking like?
That's not a guy, though, right?
There's the kid, but then there's the guy singing too.
The second verse of it.
Oh, okay. I just thought it was kids singing it.
There's a guy who sings it. To me, he said, I picture him looking like Arlo Guthrie. I picture him looking like an old folk singer.
Yep. I picture him looking like Buffalo Bill from Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah, that works too. Yeah.
Trapped in a
basement.
That
guy with kids?
Yeah.
Scary thought, man. Jeez.
Did you hear when they did the Eggs for Kids on April Fool's Day?
I heard you talking about it.
Donate your eggs today. I was like, that's a tough message to put out there, even as a joke. You know?
Yeah, I know, because then some women listening to it are like, I did, and I still couldn't have a baby on my own.
I mean, that jingle
awkward.
Played for like 20 years on every station, I think, in the world.
Everywhere. Mm,
pretty much.
Everywhere in the entire world.
What's up, Big Christian? How you doing, buddy?
Doing good. I got a short run-up tonight. We got Red Sox baseball against the White Sox, which I hope is going to carry over some of the offense we haven't seen. It's got to be, right? The White Sox suck again. They're 2-10 to start the year. And the Red Sox, when they played St. Louis in that first series, you saw the offense come to life. It really cooled off after that. I don't know what the weather's like in Chicago. Apparently, the weather's the most important thing in the world now. Probably not as bad as it was Iowa State back in 1991, I wouldn't think.
But
hopefully it's warm enough that they can go out there and actually, you know, knock some runs in tonight.
I'm thinking that maybe it's a 5-1 road trip. Three with the
White Sox, and then three with
the Medias Blanco, and then three with Tampa Bay at the unsold out Steinbrenner Field. You can go 2-1 against them. You should sweep this series this weekend. You have Duke Nukem followed by Dickie Fitz, and then you got Crochet on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
How do you think Crochet handles Sunday? Do you think it's kind of emotional for him, or is he like, thank God I got out of this dump?
Yeah, when the 1,400 fans that showed up last year to see him all show back up with their Crochet signs, I'm sure that's going to be a very emotional moment for him.
How bad? Like, I mean,
no one went to those games. Their attendance was ridiculous.
It does get so bad. Sometimes you wonder, like, can they relegate this team? Can they just, like, implode the franchise? Like, they have... The people that own the White Sox have done such a terrible job over the past decade. They have run that ship onto dry dock into the city. It's unsalvageable. I don't know how you turn a team like that. How many more Kyle Teal deals do they need before they finally actually register a pulse or a heartbeat with that team?
Your guess is as good as mine. I have no idea. A quick question. You've seen the clubhouse yet?
I haven't watched the whole thing yet, but I've watched the first couple episodes.
I've watched the first episode.
I just keep watching the parts I'm in. That's it.
Are you in it?
I'm in it twice. Yeah.
And that's I didn't know that.
Brag of the day.
Very impressed. I'm in it more than Bradford, I think.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Wow. Look at you, TV star.
They go deep into this, the relationships and the off the field. You know,
that's my favorite part of it.
It's
not really a baseball documentary. It's about baseball, but it's not really like a baseball documentary.
Right. It's about just the players more than it is about
it's character study more than anything.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, that's what I like, though. I like learning about the procedure, and I like learning about how much work they go through and how emotional these guys get. Watching Brian Baio celebrate his deal with his family and getting duped into thinking he has to pay the $25,000 dinner bill. And that's really, really good
Durant's
stuff.
Durant's car breaking down was funny, too. That whole thing with Casas there, that was good.
Hey, don't do that, man. Those are $100 million. Hey, Casas, I can watch Casas. I told you, I could watch Cutter Crawford and Tristan Casas do a morning show.
When you hear about Casas, his background, does that change how you think about him? Like, you know?
Yes.
Why he's playing baseball, you know, his mother, and the baseball was kind of filled the void for him and his dad. You know, it's just, it kind of humanizes guys for sure. But I was just thinking about Alex Cora, being a manager of a baseball team, how different that is comparatively to, like, being a football coach. Like, I've had head coaches, Belichick never once asked me about my parents or cared, or that's all Alex Cora talks to these guys about is like their personal stuff and their, you know, them as human beings and getting to know the person. It's like, it's so foreign to me at professional sports that the captain or the coach or the manager's main job basically is to, make these guys feel good about themselves, pump them up all the time.
That's what he told us Wednesday. His favorite part about the job was being a good person and cultivating these relationships. I don't know if you saw this the other day, but there's this folks that don't follow this nonsense or these trades. It was in the Barrett News or whatever it is.
Barrett Media.
Yeah, Barrett Media. Ozzie Guillen said, they did an interview with Ozzie Guillen, former player manager and morning show host, and he said, doing a daily sports talk radio show is more difficult than managing a Major League Baseball team.
Amen, brother.
How about that, huh? Thank you.
It's about time we got some respect here, guys.
I was going to say so. And before we go, Dan Ball.
Yeah.
You always put together a nice little compendium of what's on tap for the weekend. So we got three Red Sox games.
Three Red Sox games, 7:40, 4:10, 2:10. And it's Sean Newcomb, Dickie Fitz, and Garrett Crochet in games 1, 2, and 3, respectively. So hopefully a sweep, 2 out of 3 at the very minimum. But it's 36 degrees tonight in Chicago.
Yeah. So. They should be ready. They should be used to that as well. Acclimated by now after this Arctic week here. You have the Masters on tomorrow and Sunday as well.
2 to 7 p.m. both days on CBS if you're looking for it terrestrially.
Hello, friends. And tonight you have a meaningless Celtics-Hornets game followed by another meaningless Celtics-Hornets game Sunday at 1 o'clock.
Trailing in meaninglessness to the Bruins game on Sunday afternoon.
Oh, my God. Just shoot that season. Give it enough mice and men and just call it a year. Although I did hear that Arcan's got some interesting possible Bruins news.
Yes, Pierre LeBrun over on TSN speculating about the Bruins and their future in the front office. We'll get to that and all the headlines right at 6 o'clock.
Well, now that is called a vertical tease as we pass the baton to Christian Arcan with a truncated Christian Arcan show that'll lead into the Mass Mutual Red Sox pregame show with the Arcan man right here on 93.7 FM WEEI. Ted, always a pleasure serving with you, sir. Great job on today.
Good weekend.
Mego, you had a great show today. Hope you're enjoying your birthday. Stiz, thoroughly adequate as always. Dan Ball, top shelf. Folks, your old pal Nick Fitzy-Stevens here, thanking you for tuning into WEEI Afternoons. Be kind to your children. If you have too many, don't get behind the wheel. Call an Uber and enjoy your weekend. We'll talk to you on Monday.